The Bernard Bergen Podcast is brought to you by BernardBergen.com. You are tuned into the Bernard Bergen Podcast. Like, review, or share this episode with those you love and lead.
You talked about community, Bernard, and you've really hit on something that really is near and dear to my heart. Oftentimes we ask for, at least I ask for commentary, I ask for feedback, and I understand that brothers are working and things are going on. But you guys do realize this only works if all voices are heard, right? It only works if we speak up and we chime in. Now, mind you, if you're working, I get it. If you're in a noise environment, I get it. But there's a lot of people coming to the buffet and they take in to-go plates. They come into the barbecue and they take in to-go plates. That's just my humble opinion. And there's only a few voices that are heard. I want you to realize we're interested in what you have to say. The only thing I ask, though, is that you come in on the two and the four. Go ahead, please. After you.
Yo, Bernard.
I'm here.
You got kids?
No babies.
All right. You gotta forgive me, man. I only know how to beat me, man. And I try to change up my language and my ways, but it's fucking difficult. I gotta be Scott. How do you know, other than observation, what works for a father without having kids? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's an excellent question.
Like, bro, like, for real, bro.
No. You asked the question, let me answer that, and then let me let you continue. Ask me if I'm somebody's son. And ask me if my daddy spent all our relationship teaching me about two things, being a husband and being a father. I told him as a little boy, "Daddy, I'm not going to be a daddy." He's like, "In case you change your mind, here's what I need you to know." Because isn't that what fathers do? They impart wisdom. Now, I'm not saying I have your experience or I will ever know what you've been through as a father, and I don't need to. That's not my lane. But what I can tell you as somebody's son, because my dad is open, he'll tell you about his failures. He'll tell you about his struggles. He'll tell you about the decision to be a father versus the decision to be a husband and why he chose fatherhood over being a quality husband. He has no problem sharing that with us. So that informed me to stand back and not only watch, but to lend my voice to the conversation when appropriate, because I'm from a Caribbean family, and I don't know if other families function like this, but kids go live with uncles and aunties. My auntie said something to me that was phenomenal. I visited with her 2 months ago, and she knew every single broken bone I've had, every single medical issue I had, and I said, "Auntie, my mama don't even know this." She said, "Bernard, I don't look at you as my nephew. I look at you as my son. The fact that you were born and you're in my life and you have had the occasion to live with me, that means God put me here to support who you're going to become. And I don't take that lightly." So for the men and women in my life who I get to call nieces and nephews, the people I do life with, God put me in their life to support them. And while I do not and will never step into the lane of a father, what God does in community is so much more powerful than what any one human can do alone. And that's my message today. So continue.
Community not necessarily being family. Community just being a group of people with a similar like mind that's moving in one direction to help each other. Is that what community is?
Now, based on your life experiences, it can be that. But I want to challenge you from the word. How can two walk together unless they agree? I have siblings I talk to every single day. I have siblings I see every single day. And I have siblings I see once a year. Because there must be an agreement for community not only to form, but for trust to help it solidify. And as you know, as a man of faith, or you wouldn't be on this line, if you don't go to the Father every day for your daily bread,
die. It's too difficult. It's too difficult. Without the crying in the shower, this shit is crazy. So then we are different parts of the puzzle. You had a father but no kids. I didn't have a father but with kids. So where's the learning curve in that? You know what I'm saying?
So that's why we're doing community. Because now you can ask me things that a father would teach that you don't know.
Yo, right now it's too difficult. Like, I just had a falling out with a family member who told me I need to grow up. But every time I speak to him, who's the male figure in my life, he brings up shit from my past. So how can you grow up if you keep bringing up things from my teenage years? Like, I'm unable to act like an adult if you're talking about what I did as a teenager. That's who you're going to get. So when I'm listening to you and it's like, yo, a guy by himself can't be a good dad, or he's going to fail, you know, that was striking an agitated chord in me, because I don't see that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think everybody's
the same. But here's the
like,
truth.
Like, I'm doing this shit with no guidance, bro. You know what I'm saying? No physical person is telling me what to do.
But you're not by yourself. One, you have a spiritual relationship with the Creator. And then if you are vulnerable enough and visible enough, you do have men, this call, that you can connect with and share who you really are. So I do coaching, so let me coach a little bit. I never want to hear you say again, when you're talking to me, I don't care how you talk to anybody else, that you said, and you took some time to get to it, but you were basically saying, I can only speak the way I can speak. Bruh, how else are you going to talk? That's who you are. And if you live as who you are, you'll see you're enough. But if you keep listening to people like me or other people and saying, should I adjust based on what I heard? No. David, the same person who was fighting Goliath and God called a man after his own heart, was slaying women. He's the same guy. Moses, the murderer, is the same guy that God used to deliver the people, the same guy. And the world has taught us that because we have had a history, a past, that God can't use the same guy. That's crap. Everything that God has ever had me learn and go through, he says, Bernard, I want to use that. I don't need you to change that. Humans want you to change that so that you become easily controlled. But I can use that if you bring it to me. Bring me who you are. Bring me exactly who you are. Look at Peter in the Bible. He was feisty. They came to arrest Jesus. Bro, he sword out. He cut the ears off. That's who he was. And God used that. And so I'm telling you, just let God use exactly who you are. Yeah, you're gonna have naysayers. You're going to have doubters. You think I don't have one? My mama is one of my biggest haters. My mom is one of my biggest, and I love her, but she's one of my biggest haters because she can't admit that the legacy that she sees me building had more to do with my dad's side of the family than her side when they divorced. And while what my mother taught me, I take to heart, I'm a man though. So what my daddy was teaching me was more vital in real time to surviving in this country called the United States of America. And when I present those ideas to my mom, she gets so upset. She's like, so I didn't do nothing for you? I'm like, Mom, you did everything for me. But can you be humble enough to say that while you are given everything, at times it's not enough? Because the biggest struggle of me and my mother is that she took me out of what? Community. Because when she divorced my dad, he asked all of us, where do we want to live? And I said, with my daddy. Like, that's a no-brainer. And she beat the crap out of me. I had never gotten beaten like that in my life. I didn't want to live with her. And for her, that touched on an area of rejection that she had had enough. And that's the reality of being in community. At times, it leads to deep pain and to deep struggles. But what I'm challenging you to think about is when you stay submitted to the communities, and that's why I said of each season, because your communities will change, and you have to be okay with outgrowing communities. What it will do is lead to a redemptive work redemptive work. God can use everything, the hurts, the pains, the setbacks, the struggles, people talking about your history. People saying, isn't that the carpenter's son? Isn't that just Joseph's boy? Why he out here leading like we gonna listen to him? And so when they saying that about you, they said it about him. Does that take away your mandate from loving and leading? No. You have to hear that. Choose to love them, sometimes from a distance, and keep moving forward. Because what else is your option? What, you're going to quit after going through everything you've been through? After facing those moments of crying in the shower? After facing those jeers? Keep going. One step at a time. Lean on us, both vulnerable and visible. Jesus showed his wounds. That's how I live now. My brothers asked me, so how did y'all deal with this? I'm like, you want the journal? Because I wrote it down when I journaled, or I can tell you. Either way, however you need it, I'll give it to you. Because if you can look into the life of others, because they're being both vulnerable and visible, you can take the strength you need for each season. But because most of us, as BK said, we're not sharing our stories consistently, because many men are still sitting around thinking, how will they perceive me if they hear this? Bro, I lived it. Whether you hear it or not, you really think it matters what you think when it's still a part of my life? I lived it. We read the Bible, we read all their stuff. And that's how I look at my own life. I'm supposed to be a living epistle. You should be able to look in my life and ask me questions like, Bernard, how you know so much about fatherhood? You know, father, bro, I got a daddy. Like I said, my daddy coming at the end of the month, spending 2 weeks here. We going to create an itinerary. We going to, you know, do 2 weeks together. And I get it. Some men don't have that, but I do. You know what I'm saying? I trip it on what you don't have. Don't be mad at me, because God blessed me with something that he didn't necessarily bless you with. And that's the joy. He blessed you with children. He didn't necessarily bless me with them. So you have to look at God's gifts for what they are, gifts. And they're without repentance. So he, in the Bible, when you think about Rachel and Leah, the Bible said God gave Leah children because he saw that she was in love. She was in a loveless marriage. Jacob didn't want her. So God says, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you children who are going to love you because your husband don't. Guys, I have no clue what it feels like to be unloved. I have no clue. So God's like, bro, I don't need to give you babies to love you, because you good. Your aunties love you. Your mama love you. Your daddy love you. Your older brother love you. Your younger brothers love you. Your wife love you. Good. Bro, I'm good in the love department. So he didn't necessarily need to gift me with children for me to feel love. But if you read the Bible, he says God gave Leah children because she was unloved. You think God is not still in the same business of, ooh, yeah, let's go ahead and put this child there. Yeah, they don't need any. Let's put this child there. God is a God. But without knowing it, and I get it, we're human, so we always come from a human perspective. We keep forgetting that his thoughts are above ours. And we have to be humble enough to say, okay, God, put a God thought in my head. Help me with wisdom and understanding. And that's where I live, at that intersection. I'm like, God, help me with both wisdom and understanding. Because if Solomon could pray for wisdom and you can give it to him, I believe you're the same God. And I pray consistently for wisdom because I understand. And that's why I say without a shadow of a doubt, and I don't care who challenges me, an unsupported father is going to fail. You need support as a man, period. And sometimes for many men, they don't find that in their homes. Their wives have their own agenda. You don't believe me? Again, Bible. Lot was leading his family, following an angel, taking his family out of danger. What did his wife do? His wife turned around. That means she wasn't fully committed. Bro, I'm married. I have seen my wife turn around from the vision. And I one thing I consistently say in my house is you can't have two visions. That's called division. You have to have one vision. And you move in one direction together. And if you don't want to do that, well, don't be a part of what? This community, a part of what? This family. Because how can two walk together unless they agree? And so I'm challenging you to look at your relationships in the same vein. Jesus said this, who is my mother and my brother? Those who do what? The work with me. What is your work? What are you working on? Are they doing that with you? So why are you giving them names that God didn't give them? My brothers hate that I do it. Whatever I'm working on, if they ain't helping me, I call them my father's son. Like, Bernard, I'm your brother. Nope, you're my father's son today. Like, what you mean? Bro, you not doing the work with me. So you're my father's son. When we doing the work together, then you're my brother. It's harsh. But it's real. And we get caught up on titles. We get caught up on titles and roles. So we stay stuck when God wants to take us on a journey. And so a part of my journey is staying in places of faith, being challenged by the communities around me, learning from their wisdom, leveraging their experience, and just being fully accountable. Because it's in that space of accountability, it unlocks your next level.
Hey, look here, this tone, I'm jumping in. God bless you, sir, on that message today, because I need to hear that dig me. Because I was, for a minute, I was running around here like a lost child again. I'm 35 years old, but I feel like a lost child. And I say this to say why. Because my mother's number 17 out of 20. Me and my grandmother were very close. We was, you know, she was my friend. She was one of them pillars of the faith, but she still knew how to realize, identify with a regular person. She didn't let it take her too far. I say that to say this. I was always the party of everything going on. My grandmother passed away before COVID. And I got pissed off at the funeral because all the Negroes was up in there and nobody had nothing to say. I got up and said something off the cuff. I dang near preached a little sermonette. I'm getting to my point. I didn't see that after we put my grandmother down in the grave, well, I did understand that all the family was going to be done. But my grandmother lived in the same city as me, and I was always over there. She helped me. She was pivotal in my childhood. And I'm looking around. My kids, my family was gone for 4 days over the weekend. They was going to my wife's side of the family reunion. I'm sharing by myself. I didn't realize how lonely I was now. Without grandma's house is where everything convened. That was the networking spot. You know what I mean? With 20 kids, all of them didn't like each other. So, you know, it was pockets of them. But no matter who had beef or who, everybody convened over grandma's house, and we made it work. But now that's gone now. And the thing is, man, that brother said Jesus showed everybody his wounds. I said, woo, okay, so he hit me on that one. So I said, okay, I ain't got to keep hiding. I didn't understand how lonely I was now. My daddy's side of the family, who gave me the street side of who I was, they've been so dysfunctional for so many years now that nobody connects anymore. So now I've seen that once the hustle was over with, I've seen in my life now that, dang, my life is empty without my family connections. I didn't have to worry about making friends growing up because I went to high school with five of my family members. You know what I mean? That's how tight we was. You know what I mean? So I inherited everybody else's friends and this and that and this that, you know, clout day one, you know, moving on. I didn't realize how lonely I was until now all that stripped away. But I got encouraged today on this message. I was 20 minutes in. I was ready to be like, all right, I heard enough. I'm gone. I heard the Lord say, stay on the call. So until I heard Bernard say, now you go through seasons of community, but then the communities change. I was like, oh, okay, that's where I'm at. So now I see, okay, and he was talking about the redemption through building anew. Because I got pissed off reaching out to a few brothers in my city. And I'm like, oh, man, them niggas don't want nothing. I'm tired of being the only one reaching. I'm tired of being the only one reaching. But then I remember that story in the Bible when David's family, oh, okay, it's coming home to me as I'm talking to y'all. I'm able to understand what I'm just by hearing me talk. David lost his family. And I remember what you were talking about. I remember reading it by myself. And he went to the Lord. And he got butt naked before God and was like, hey, what do I do? And God gave him direction. So I'm encouraged today from the standpoint of, you know, because I don't know if I've ever really grieved from my grandmother being gone, because she and I was very close. I wear her on the medallion around my neck now. You know what I mean? I don't know how to do that. I ain't nobody show me, but I'm understanding now through this call, and I want to appreciate you, and I want you to know that your message hit home
and it was meant for somebody else other than you, Bernard, for what you spoke today, it hit home for me now, because now I know, okay, all I gotta do is go ahead and get naked before God, ask him what to do, ask him how do I manage this moving forward, and I feel better equipped moving forward. You know what I'm saying? As far as how to handle this in that regard, I'm very grateful for that, because I didn't know. I'm just like, well, dang, you know, all my life has been cool up to this point. You know, you be on social media, you looking at other people, you like, you find yourself getting jealous, like, dang, I ain't got nobody open house to go to now, or I ain't got no this, that. And, you know, and feeling like that part of your life is empty, and it's like, well, dang, you be feeling like, what the F do I do now? Everything gone. I'm coming up on 40, and I ain't got nowhere to go, but I had that all my life. So I'm very grateful to this message today, because it helped me understand what I need to do, just simple, point blank, now that my community has changed. You know, that's another thing I didn't understand that could ever happen. But we was always together. But now that my community is gone, what I need to do in building another one moving forward. And I'm very comfortable with the fact now that I can say that, and I feel like that's gonna help me move forward as I continue to make, you know, step one day at a time. It's like a deep reservoir that I feel like I can't move out of or get out of, because I'm so used to stuff being a certain way. Well, I have to understand I got to start a new administration this way as my life moves forward. Appreciate you, bro, on that one. Thank you very much, because it helped me understand what I need to do moving forward now. That's my piece.
Now, I appreciate you sharing that. You know, just listening to you reminded me, you know, I grew up like that too. Like, people are like, how come you don't have a whole bunch of friends? I'm like, bro, you know how much cousins I have? We all went to school together. You know what I'm saying? We live across the street from each other. I don't understand this friendship concept. I have four brothers. I am good. But I wasn't the only child, so there were things I wouldn't understand. It's real. It's what it is. And that's why we have to share. My youngest brother, who moved from L.A., we were sitting in the backyard with the kids, and he said, Bernard, I didn't get it. I was like, get what? He said, you'd always talk about mom taking you from community. I never got it, but I'm watching my girls get to visit any one of their uncles anytime they want to. And he was like, now I get it. And he started crying, and I started crying. Because we don't know what we lose until we lose it. I had an uncle die last year. And while I would travel for business, just telling on myself, I wouldn't travel for, quote, family. I wouldn't travel for family. My family is all over the country, all over the world. I'm still in the Caribbean, and I wouldn't purposely go travel and visit them. Then my uncle died alone in the desert in Kuwait, alone in the desert in Kuwait. And guys, we can play like we have all this time in the world. And like David, we got to get before God and say, okay, God, what does the pursuit look like? The pursuit of what? Family, community, what does that look like? Who is off limits? Who is this season's pursuit? And he will show you. So since my uncle died, there's only one auntie I have left to see, my auntie Hilda, in person. You know, we do the family Zoom calls from time to time, and that's cool, but it's a difference when you get to sit with them and you know, look them in the eyes and hug them. There's a difference. You know, there's a difference. There's a strength that you don't get. And what we have to talk about as men is that lonely feeling. That's something that is different between me and my daddy. My daddy would always talk about, Bernard, stop being that way because you're going to be alone. Guys, I don't struggle there. That's not one of my struggles. Like I said, I know I'm loved, so I don't ever feel alone. But my daddy doesn't like to be alone. He got five kids. My brother with six kids, he don't like to be alone. He got six kids. You know, so God will bless you in that area. You have struggles. I've seen it. And I watch how family helps transform and transport at times. And sometimes we as men, we don't talk about the essence of our need. Like I tell my wife when I need her, hey, babe, I need you to sit with me. I can see the look in her eyes. She's like, bro, I could get some work done. Okay, my husband needs me. You should just come and sit with me. Like, something you want to talk about? I'm like, nah, not right now. It'll come out, but right now I just I just need somebody to sit with me. And I think as men, and guys, I don't hear me wrong. I did not start at that place of visibility of vulnerability. It's just doing this heart work, being on the prayer call, doing my training through G-Man and other platforms. It helped me to understand that there are aspects of manhood that we tend to ignore because it's not celebrated. And the problem with what we ignore, it atrophies. And we need those areas strong. Like my brother who got six kids is nobody who could connect with people more. Or he just has a gift there. I mean, with him sometimes, I'm like, bro, my brain wouldn't even have had that thought. And see, what I have learned to do is I've learned to then execute really well. For example, we were visiting my older brother in December last year. And, you know, we hadn't seen the kids in a while. And we're at the mall with one of my cousins. And my brother's like, we should buy the kids gifts. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, bro, my brain would have never did that. So we bought all the kids gifts. He's looking at me like, what you mean? I'm like, that's not how my brain works. I ain't got no kids. I would have never thought to get the kids gifts. And I think we don't really share that in that place of true vulnerability, there is a gift. Okay, Moses had a vulnerability to stutter, but he definitely had a gift of leadership. And you don't stutter when you're giving command. Go do. Get this done. Did you get it done? Ain't a lot of words when you lead it. I don't know about y'all, but I lead. I command. That's leadership. Is it completed? Do you need retraining? It's not a lot of words. There ain't no fancy speeches. He wasn't running for president of Israel. He was just telling people what to do. And I'm pretty sure he didn't stutter in those moments. So I challenge you guys to look at the areas you feel deep vulnerability. Man, I have a sense of loneliness. Man, I'm so used to family gatherings and people being around each other and people feeling free to stop by. Bro, that's why my brothers have the code to my house. For 7 years, my wife and I lived in the city of Seattle. My wife would have one prayer request. I'm like, babe, what's your prayer request? Yeah, we would have more family. I'm like, oh, okay. Because that was never my need. That was her need. Just like that, we would have more family in the area. That was her specific prayer request. For 7 years, we prayed that. But we have so much family in the area now. Mama here, my cousin and her two daughters here, and her boyfriend. So that's even more. My brother and his 8-person family, his 6 kids, him and his wife, his mother-in-law is here. My other brother moved up from LA with his 3 children and his wife. So much because my wife and I tarried in that prayer. I'm like, God, if this is what she wants, Lord, I'm gonna pray this with her. I don't think she know what family come with, but that's what she wants. And I heard her heart, bro, we ain't got kids. So there's an area of nurturing that again, she wanted to give. And I see her doing that in our nephews and our nieces now. When my niece, her sister's daughter had moved in with us for a year, I saw her doing that. So there's seasons. And back to, you know, the brother who talked about is community only family. That's why I keep going back to first what Jesus said. How could, who's my mother and my brother? Those who do the work with me. And that's why I also go back to this verse. How can two walk together unless they agree? Brian Tripman, if we ain't doing the work together, like if you say you're taking your family in this direction, and I'm like, oh yeah, I ain't with that. Nah, you say you taking your son to basketball practice. You can't pick him up. I go get him. Bro, we live in the same neighborhood. It's not that deep. I go get him, drop him off at your house. I'm helping you do what? Your work. How can two walk together unless they agree? I'm not saying you should compromise just to have unity. What I'm challenging you to do is find the community who's already united with what you're doing. I wanted to run more. Bro, I just went to the run club. They're like, oh, great, another runner. We'll see you at 5 in the morning and 7 p.m. at night. I'm like, to do what? To run. And bro, we running. Because that's what your community does. So same thing. And back to fatherhood and being supported. You know, as men, our families have a top priority slot. Top priority slot. But a lot of times, as we have all felt, and when my wife travels for work, it felt a lot different when my wife traveled for work when I had no family around. When my wife travels for work now, bro, food is magically appearing in the house. Oh yeah, we know Tasha was gone, so we just brought you some dinner. I'm like, I appreciate this. Thank you. Like, they know how to serve and how to remind you that you belong. Bernard, you coming over for dinner? We don't want to hear it. See you in 5. I'm like, bro, okay, I'll see you in 5. But are we going to be vulnerable enough to help to let people serve us in that space that we have a need? Many of us don't. Many of us are like, nah, I'm good. Nah, I'm not good. I need help. And I have no problem asking for that help. I need guidance. And I have no problem submitting to that guidance. I need encouragement. And I have no problem saying, bro, I need some encouragement. And there's times, again, there's always those one-on-one moments. There's times you have to encourage yourself. The Bible says it. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He had to encourage himself in that moment. There's those one-on-one moments. But if you're finding yourself in a plethora of one-on-one moments, that means you're devoid of community. And that's not how God designed you. Don't believe me? The Bible says it's not good for man to do what? Be alone. But many of us, when we talk about our biggest battles, our biggest struggles, our biggest failures, it's because we're doing life alone.
Thanks for listening to the Bernard Bergen Podcast. Leave a comment with 2 things you learned and 1 challenge to the information. Like and share this episode, and feel free to recommend topics we should cover on the podcast.